Hello, I'm Kevin Kittle, and you're listening to The Cinema Files. Last week, we had the opportunity to sit down with the one and only Mark Wahlberg to discuss his passion project, Father Stu. Father Stu tells the inspirational true story of Stuart Long and his journey from a short-tempered boxer to a humble man of God. Have a listen as fellow critics The Massies and I ask how he brought this biopic to the screen and what drove him to do so.
We might ask you a question you've heard before.
Yeah, well, I'll try to give you a different answer without contradicting myself. Not an easy thing to do, but
yeah.
I'll apologize up front for asking something hard.
We try to do our best. All right, so I'm going to kick this off here.
Please.
So one of the things I was surprised about, but I appreciated, was that it was R-rated and all language in it. And the thing that surprised me is, like, for a, especially like a faith-based inspirational film, you don't see that a lot of times.
Yeah.
So what led to that choice, and did you have any pushback from studios or anybody else?
Well, we didn't have any studio at the time. I financed the whole movie myself. We definitely wanted we always looked at, like, The Fighter as a comparison in tone and what we wanted to do. I would say it's much more a biopic than it is a faith-based pick. It just has this faith-based component because, you know, his calling that he's in this kind of holy quest and relentless pursuit of happens to be him as a priest. But yeah, I think we met a lot of resistance from the church, for instance. You know, when I slipped them the script to the archdiocese and I'm like, hey, I want to shoot in the church and I'd love to have all this access to seminaries and everything. Two F-bombs later, and they're like, this is vulgar. We're not doing this. Absolutely not. And I was like, well, you didn't read the whole thing. I could tell. Like, you got to get to the good part where he turns his life around and does lots of good work for God. But I thought, you know what? It's okay. It didn't deter me from wanting to make it. I just said, let me go make the best version of this movie and then bring it back to everybody and see where we stand. And now, of course, we have their unwavering support. We have them out there giving us the most glowing reviews. They realize that the language is necessary, the violence is necessary. It's part of who Stu was. This is a movie about tough grace and tough mercy. People are having a really tough time right now. And the reason why Stu did so many good things is because he utilized all that real life experience when communicating to people who were then suffering through similar things. And they knew that, you know, he was authentic, that he had real credibility. He had seen things in life. It wasn't like he was really book smart and could, like, find the best, you know, passages in the Bible and give you things that were, you know, he gave you the real.
Yeah, well, speaking on that, one of my favorite scenes is when he goes to the prison to speak to the inmates and you get that real heart-to-heart thing. Were there any, like, anecdotes or stories about Stu that didn't make it into the film?
There were quite a few. I mean, I would have preferred to release the editor's assembly, which was 4 hours long. And most of the fun stuff was, like, in his attempt to become a success in Hollywood. There's some really great moments there. There'll be a lot of that stuff on, like, deleted scenes in the DVD and bonus scenes.
So you got to meet the real Bill Long to help flesh out Stu's character. What kind of things did you take away from meeting with him and just to help shape that character? And how authentic is this character to the real Stu?
Well, we tried to be as accurate as possible in the depiction. Obviously, we had to cram 20-some-odd years into a two-hour story. But, you know, we really love the fact, too, that Bill, you know, parents aren't supposed to bury their children. And so when they lost their youngest child, and they didn't have the coping skills necessary to deal with that, they left Stu to his own devices, and he was obviously had a lot of resentment because of that, a lot of anger, and but his father was able to come back and take care of him in a way. That was something else that really grabbed me when Father Ed was telling me the story that Stu only called Bill, and he only called him Dad when he came back and fed him, changed him, clothed him, and then you know, they were able to repair their relationship, which was really powerful. So, love the father-son story. I love the love story between him and Teresa's character. I mean, I was hard-pressed to find a single reason not want to make the movie, even when it came down to having to do something that is not common when you're cutting the check to actually make the film.
When you mentioned not common, like producing it yourself.
Producing it. And yeah, well, I produce a lot of films, but I haven't financed them. You know, financing is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
So.
You just mentioned Father Ed. He's the one that told you the story. Can you give us a little background on that and when that was and how that motivated
you? Yeah, him and Stu were friends. He was pitched me, it was like 6 years ago in Beverly Hills at Evaldi Restaurant after, you know, him and Father Orion had just spent the day of hearing confessions. And then I was like, you know, we went out to eat a lot. And so I take them to eat and, you know, suddenly he starts pitching me on the movie. I'm like, I change churches all the time because I don't want to get pitched. You know, I'm usually going there for worship. Right now, I'm just trying to have a meal. I mean, I think I know a little bit about your taste in movies, but I don't really know. You know, if you're picking projects that are good for me and my career, what I'm trying to accomplish. But when I heard the story, really, it was really like, okay, this is definitely something I should be a part of. Yeah, I felt like, what an opportunity as an actor to play a part like that. You don't get to show that kind of range that often. And just everything about it, I just felt like, wow, it's going to inspire a lot of people. Not even thinking that, you know, there would be this pandemic where everybody really needed healing more than ever, and people need to go to the theater and laugh and cry together, and be reminded what that connection is like.
Yeah. Speaking of crying, that the one scene that really stuck with me is his near-death experience when he sees Mary. I was wondering, is that something that Stu had related to one of the priests, or was that something that
No. Stu had communicated that he had a visit. He was run over not once but twice while he was on his motorcycle on the 210 freeway and left for dead. Had a visit. And he said he had a couple of encounters. And it'd be funny because his dad, like, when Stu was passing, lots of people that were close to him wanted to be there. And so, you know, they were all kind of in the room and, you know, it was, you know, they knew it was going to be any minute. And when he finally passed, somebody said that they saw his spirit raise out of his body. And then somebody else said, yeah, I saw it too. And then, of course, everybody in the room started seeing it. He goes, Bill, you guys are full of shit. I didn't see anything. Right? And classic Stu story. So, and I asked Bill about that. And I've asked the other guys who were in the room. They're like, no, we saw it. And Bill's like, ah, damn.
So this film has a surprising amount of humor throughout. And to me, that was one of the most effective things. Was that a difficult thing, do you think, to balance the humor with, you know, these profound subjects that are going on in here? And
no, I didn't think so. I mean, I've always wanted to push the edge. If we're going to make a rated R movie, let's make a rated R movie. We'll figure out everything else after. I mean, it's still got a good amount of language in it. We probably pulled out 100 F-bombs in the cut, you know. I mean, even at the end, Rosie was like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? She's like, he's a priest now. You have your choices in the editing room, but we got to get one, like, we got to get one where we're really pushing it, and then we get everything else in between. So we have, because we wanted that final draft to be kind of, you know, done in the editing. Having to make tough choices and what goes and what stays. But I always wanted to push the envelope with the edge.
Well, you've been traveling around and you're getting to see the movie with a live audience, right? Uh-huh. How has that experience been? And
amazing.
Have people been reacting?
Mean, the laughter, the tears. And of course, I said it, and, you know, early on I started saying it before the screenings, and, you know, you get some pretty cynical people. I'm like, this movie's going to touch you. I promise you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you will have to have been literally through nothing and have no emotion whatsoever to not react to things that happen in this movie. We've all dealt with loss and sickness in our lives and people. And so, you know, it's just touching everybody. And it's really encouraging people to be the best versions of themselves, which is really nice. Yeah, but to see it with, like, a Hollywood audience and then see it with a Catholic audience, the Hollywood audience laughter is there and it's big, but it's in completely different spots than like the Catholic audience. You know, like when I'm going into church and I'm walking up to that old guy and they're like, no. That's fine. You can just walk into church like that, like, no.
I'm a very cynical person and it worked on me. So
good.
But a lot of people have been talking about the weight gain that you put on for the film, but then there's also prosthetics as well, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about personal weight gain? And
yeah, I mean, God, if I could have just done the makeup and all that enhancement stuff, I would have. But what I really wanted audiences to see, you know, this guy was like, everything was predicated on his physicality, right? He was so an angry guy, beaten back at the world, wanted to fight anybody and everybody to show how tough he was. But then to see all of that deteriorate and basically turn to mush, which happened to my dad in real life, and I've seen it firsthand. So, but to be able to see how his spirit grew, And to see that transformation, I thought it was a much more important thing for the movie and the story than it was as the actor who likes to go and say, yeah, I did. De Niro put on 40 pounds, I put on 50 pounds. And, you know, he lost 20 pounds, I lost 30 pounds. It was really such an important part of the story. And, I mean, I'm still paying the price for it to this day because it had a pretty big effect on me and my health. But, you know, it was just that important to do it. I ain't looking to do it anytime soon. So we didn't really have the luxury of shooting in order. So sometimes, you know, we'd have a little bit on my face. But you wanted to see it. You wanted to see it and do it the real practical way.
Right. That's yeah. Awesome.
Thanks for
cool. Yeah, thanks so much.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Very much.
Appreciate next it. Time, we're going to figure this shit out.
Yeah. He insisted on sitting between us.
Yeah, right. That was like, it's some weird shell game.